time. We're ready to talk to you. Are you ready yourself?
Yay, we were ready yesterday.
Okay, Wendy, you got something you want to ask Ion?
I was listening to something about the Matrix movie and the Terminator movies, that the script was stolen. Is this true? Was it stolen from her? Someone else took
credit? Borrowed, as it were.
Just borrowed? What does that mean?
Something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Okay. So somebody else borrowed like a little bit of her idea and added to it, or?
Well, it really wasn't her idea. It was just that we think she does protest too much.
Oh, okay, because she went to court and everything, and it's like all the ideas.
And blah, 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 blah. It's every thought that's ever been.
Okay, here's Anonymous. You want to speak, Anonymous?
I would like to ask about communication in the ascended state. When everybody's in the knowing, how can you communicate? What happens with communication in the ascended state?
It gets commutated.
What do you mean by that?
Look it up.
It means to regulate or reverse the direction of an alternating electric current, especially to make it a direct current. So communication becomes direct, moves out of the alternating.
Excellent. See, the Gutenberg galaxy wasn't for nothing. It even let stupid people figure things out. It's great.
First insult for Bob.
Make sure you note that, Bob.
So media were extensions of ourselves in the fallen state. But when we ascend, is there any more expansion?
Yes.
What is the thing that creates this expansion? Is it also
contrast.
In the perception? So how does this work with the...
Contrast.
Contract, contrast?
Do.
What happened to perception? For example, you said the orgasms or the coitus is felt in all the body.
Count Basie.
I would like to know more about how coitus and orgasms are important to activate chromosome 14.
Count Basie.
Could you explain that, please?
He's a jazz big band leader like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, back in the 30s and 40s. You knew
that. Yes, I know, and I like Count Basie, but I don't understand the pattern.
Well, the music. The music is a form of coitus.
It's lined in spaces.
Yeah, the tonalities. You get into the tonalities. Underlying visual space, acoustic space, the fuga per canonum, the symbol and technique for the siren section of Ulysses by James Joyce, published in 1922.
Siren, not siren, siren.
Siren, sorry.
So how do we make the singing that activates chromosome 14? When we have an orgasm.
Oh, fly me to the moon.
That's he's talking about transcendence. So humans get a momentary transcendence from orgasm. That reminds of chromosome 14 of where the little human is wanting to get. So it's a dialogue.
But I have the impression that coitus is a connection we just had for a moment and then we lost it. Because you say, for example, JW can have this state all time.
Yes.
Is that so?
It is a needle pulling thread.
like the hormones and chemistry being produced.
If you do it right, the whore will moan.
Is that state that we have to achieve and stay in that state all the time when we're ascended?
Yeah.
Deutsche Bank. They have that all the time?
They do. In other words, it's in Bob Zimbabwe.
Is Germany going out of the Eurozone?
In other words.
How long are there going to be Euros?
They're past that already.
Is the Deutsche Bank like that? They like being passé?
They are in a different position. They're okay.
Did World War II help them get in that position?
Do.
Yes, it's doing well since then. And they faked a division of IG Farben. It actually never did get broken up behind the scenes.
There's a Farfik Nugent in there somewhere, yes.
A what? Frank Nugent Bank? What'd you say?
Farfik Nugent.
What's he saying, Carolyn? A little too much resonance there. Ian, say the game. Barking.
Farfik Nugent.
Farfik Nugent. Sounds like a person.
Dude.
What's the first word? Bartomo?
Farfik Nugent.
Farfik Nugent. You got that, Roxy? Farfik Nugent.
Farfik Nugent. She knows.
When the letters were written to the churches, to the banks, what was the real meaning of the letters, of the repentance they have to do? Because we saw repentance is not what we thought.
Well, we said it already. Farfik Nugent.
Driving pleasure.
Enjoyment. Driving enjoyment.
What was your question about the banks, Roxy? What did the letters say to the banks?
The letters that were written to the churches, and they asked them to repent, but we know repentance is not what we thought.
John the Revelator, when he wrote the letters to the churches, did he mean repent the way we mean, looking back and review? Ian?
Not so much.
He told him to worry.
Well, you're going to get all the way up to the Witten House door, and then it starts over again. Everything from King James, that's your loop. That's your cycle. So if you stay to there, you'll be all right.
We're going to play something about that a little later, the loop.
I would like to understand the relationship between, for example, some people can manifest a lot of money and some can't.
Money is vulgar and common people shouldn't handle it.
That some people can manifest a lot of money and some people can't. So I wanted to understand the relationship with the power.
1604.
What's that?
When King James started his version.
Yeah.
It was a very good year. Hey, Bobby, you go up to 1666, you get all the way up to Trevorkian's Ninth Gate version. Remember that?
Your resonance is a little off, Ion, on your phone. What did you just say? Did you get to what version?
The 1666.
What version did you say? Well, that's the Great London Fire.
Ninth Gate.
You mean the guy who wrote that book?
Trevorkian.
Trevorkian, yes. So that was a good year?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's try this. Maybe we clear the air with a little music here, which was an answer for Roxy. Okay. Right, so we'll just play this, Roxy, for a second. Don't take it personally.
Yes, too. Please take it personally.
Yes, I take it.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Denmark. What decade?
That's easy. 1589. We're trying to catch you up. Then you got to get to his son, Charles. His son, Charles.
Well, how did Edward, the brother of Elizabeth I, accomplish what he did in the Bible when he passed and when he was 15?
Because he was the King of Scotland for 30-plus years, and then he became the King of England. But it all came down to Lord Darnley. That's what it was all about.
Oh, I thought you meant by Edward the young brother who was regent for, or king for a few minutes. He died when he was 15.
We're talking about when he married the Anne of Denmark. Come on, Bob.
It was Edward? Edward was married to Anne of Denmark? That's who you're talking about, this Edward guy who had a big influence on the King James Bible? That Edward's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So let's look that up. Yeah. Edward and Anne of Denmark. You can carry on, Roxy, while I'm doing this.
We were doing something about media and ecology. Media ecology bugged us. And we were talking about the connections there are in many major works, and how nobody could see those connections because they will have need non-physical to understand the real meaning of what it was said. Like, for example, in Ulysses or The Wake or the Bible.
Or and, when John Napier invented logarithms.
That skewered median ecology, M-E-D-I-A-N?
1614. That's when they started triangulation. They've been doing it since, like rabbits ever since. That's in 1587, that's when Mary was beheaded. Because Queen Elizabeth I said it's got to be. But they got to go back. This goes always back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between who's in charge.
I think your media ecology is all about bringing out the hidden ground that has been imbued in culture and in human creations.
It's where the Stuarts came into play.
And what about the Marlboroughs?
We love them.
What was the real message of their gospel?
Death and destruction is very profitable.
Death and destruction is profitable. So what was your question geared towards, Roxy? Who did you ask about? The Marlboros?
Yes.
You mean the family before Churchill? How did you know about them? That's a little
about no, your
pay grade.
No, Lord.
No.
It's James the Fifth. You're
Here's
going
what
to
I am
Farmer,
talking about.
Earl Lennox, Lord Darnley, Henry Stewart, 1567, and then Eleanor Brandon, and then Francis Brandon, and then Jane Grey, Queen of England, and then Bradgate Lancashire, then Lord Digby, and then the child was John Stewart, and then you got Duke Lennox, and then Earl Lennox, 4th Matthew 23 Stewart, and he married Lady Margaret Douglas. That was the daughter of Archibald Douglas, and Margaret Tudor. That was 1550. So then you get up here to Margaret Douglas. Then you come all the way up to the Queen of Scots, Mary Stuart. Okay?
Right.
And you keep on coming down to James the First. That's the Edinburgh side. That's where the Queen Mama comes in. You know, in Hertfordshire. Then Earl Lennox, and then the Cavendish, the daughter of Sir William Cavendish, comes in. And then Charles Stuart, Elizabeth Cavendish, gets Annabella Stuart. That was the Duke Somerset and William Seymour. You know how that often is. Then you got Lord Darnley and Henry Stewart. And then that's the Mary Queen of Scots in July of 15.
Bring it all back.
Then James and Mary. Then, come on up, was Mary Stuart. Now, Lady Catherine Grey. And then she married Henry Herbert, the Earl of Hertford. And Edward Seymour, the son of Edward Seymour and Anne Stanhope. The children, Catherine Grey and Edward Seymour, are Lord Edward Beauchamp Seymour. And then Thomas Seymour. That was up to married Isabel only in 1600. Now, in the 24th generation, this is just like you dropped, Bob. James I, the King of England, was the steward in Edinburgh Castle. Moving on up, then you got the Prince of Wales, Henry Frederick Stuart. Then you got Elizabeth Stuart. Then you got Margaret Stuart. Then you got Charles I, the King of England, Scotland, and Ireland. That is 1625 to 1649. And then you got Duke Kintyre Robert Stuart. And then the son, Sterling, he didn't last very long, with Mary Stuart. Okay, and Sophia, don't forget Sophia. All right, that's 1606. Yeah. That's important. Then you come on down to Lord Edward Beauchamp Seymour. He married Honora Rogers. That's the daughter of Sir Richard Rogers. Their children were Duke Somerset William Seymour, Arnabella Stuart, and Francis Devereux. Then Lord Edward Beauchamp Seymour and Anne Sackville, Baron Seymour, Francis Seymour, and then you're going to come all the way down to Honora Seymour. That's in 1620. Now, Elizabeth Stuart, okay, comes on all the way up to the House of Leicester. Then you're going to have Frederick of Palatate. Whitehall, you know that side from 1632. Then you've got Eleanor, Charles Louis, Maurice, Edward Philip, Elizabeth Herdorden, Abbess Louisa Holliday, and Mabillon, Henrietta Marie, and then Prince Sigmund of Transylvania, Ragusco. And Charlotte. Don't forget Frederick Henry and Duke Rupert of Cumberland. Now, they're coming all the way back around now to 1630, Sophia Hanover. Now, From Charles I, King of England, to Scotland and Ireland, the Stuart brings all the way down. Him and Henrietta had the Duke of Cornwall. And that's the one they named the newest one's latest second, third wife. It's the ex-wife of somebody else, the Duke of Cornwall. The Duke of Cornwall and Charles James Stuart. See, this is the Greenwich Palace up to 1629. Then Charles II, the King of England and Ireland.
Ian, is it true that the royals go back to the Egyptian pharaohs, their line?
They do. And Duke Henry of Gloucester Stuart, and then Henrietta Anne Stuart. We got to get this right because Bob does this over and over and over because that's where Charles was born to. Charles and Charlotte Landgraves. See, that's where the Landgraves come in. That was the daughter of William of Hesse Landgrave. Then you got Sophia Hanover. She died in 1717, but she married Duke Ernest Augustus of Brunswick, and he was born in 1629. And the children of Sophia and Ernest were the Duke of York, Ernest Augustus, Frederick Augustus, Maximilian William, Charles Philippe Christian, now George the First, the King of Great Britain and Ireland, Hanover, goes all the way down with Sophia Charlotte, 1668, in Schlossberg near Osbrock, Hanover. Now, Princess Royal Mary Stuart, she was born in 1631, and that was at St. James Palace. Bob used to summer there, and it died on December 24th of 1660 in Whitehall. That's where most of them do. But she married Prince William II of Orange, and Mary Stuart and William is William of Orange, King of England, Scotland, Ireland. That was 1689-1703. Stuart, Queen Mary II.
Right, that leads to the throne coming over from Europe in 1688. Now, let me just play this little excerpt of what you said to me 2 days ago, Ion, which will explain this loop being back to the new King James Version. Okay.
The reason King James is bomb, the point that makes King James the bomb, is because this is the cycle of the circle that you're looping to. From the 1600s forward is a new loop. So you're starting to bump into things all new again. All things bright and beautiful. All things new. There you go.
And so our translation, the rewrite of the King James Bible, is part of the new cycle since 1600.
Until we redo it. Once we redo it, then you'll have a new one.
Yeah, we redo the cycle that's unfolding. We redo that again.
Yeah, your Bible will be bobbed.
Bobbed, right. Okay, so we're going to do the Bible again and rewrite, I don't know what part, maybe the Book of Revelations. That was an important statement by Ion 2 days ago, and that's the context for what we just heard. The details leading up to William of Orange taking over the British crown in 1688. Now, it begins with that big year, 1604. Ion, did you want to add to what I just played, or did you already do that with that genealogy?
We did, mostly.
Did you have a follow-up, Roxy, on that?
I want to know what is the connection with the angel chart that was being retrieved since the Elizabeth I, with John Dee, to the now.
You mean the angel diagram chart?
Yes, I think your media and ecology lead us to this retrieving.
Guy Fawkes.
You know who Guy Fawkes is, Roxy, right?
No.
You know that movie V for Vengeance or something came out a few years ago? That was an update, that mask. So he was from 1570-1606, and he planned the failed gunpowder plot of 1605, and that was the Catholic gang. Now, let me play some important stuff here. This is hot off the press. This is from August 6th, 2 days ago. Okay. Our question, being a human involves salt, and angels can't be human and don't have access to tears. So do they want salt and tears so they can be human?
They want salt not to be human so they can be God.
One requires salt to be God?
They do. You have to be salt and light.
And humans have that already. They're fine.
They could be, yes.
Do you have to have salt to have tears?
Yes, you have to have it as a saline-based solution.
There's a section where you're describing the dark soul. You say, does he say anything about the dark soul here, Karen?
Well, there are a lot of words. If Lucifer gets the dark soul and eats it, then the battle in heaven where the third of the angels were
Lucifer tied Lucifer eats the dark soul until the second war in heaven. Then why does Ion say that Bob is the definition of the dark soul, is the dark soul? Well, what am I doing to make me the dark soul?
You are the eater.
And what am I eating?
What we said. What did we say we were eating?
Dark soul.
Okay.
So I'm eating the dark soul.
Or are you eating yourself?
Yeah, so it's that contrast, little man battle, which is the essence of developing a dark soul. So we eat, a little man should eat himself up and be no more to get rid of the dark soul and be a god.
Bob.
Right, Ion?
Yep, that's precisely it.
But that's not the question. The question is, Bob is the dark soul, Ion says. Why is Bob? Because
you're eating yourself all the time. You're constantly putting yourself out as a little man and eating it up. You're embodying that is. Of course it's good.
Is that useful, me eating myself continuously, Ion?
Oh, we can't stop you anyway.
So I'm the only one eating myself?
So far.
When you say that Bob and Carol know more about the non-physical than anybody in the world, does that include religious topics, theological topics that the Pope, the Queen, and the Dalai Lama engage in?
All of them.
And we know more about the non-physical because we understand that it has come forth.
You have experience in it. You have constant access. You get to re-ask. You get to turn it on
yes.
and off. You own the faucet, so you get to say when it's on, you get to say when it's off. You get to mess it up. You get to mess it left. You get to mess it right. You get to do that.
I mean, if the Queen or the Pope had access and desired to access it, they could eventually pile up the hours of engagement with you, and that would affect them, and they become, quote, knowledgeable.
We say certainly would.
Is it accurate for us to say that you are the environment of the guff, the bliss environment that's come forth to speak and empty the old environment you were?
We don't know about bliss. It may not be so blissful in a moment.
What? The coming forth of you may not be so blissful.
See, when someone's fighting in a little man's state to be the little man's state, that's a little man's state. When it's done, it's done.
But you are the guff. You're the environment of the guff. That's what you've been. And you've come forth to create, so therefore you're not the guff anymore. So is it correct? I always say that you're the environment of the guff that's come forth to create, not an entity or a thousand entities channeling. Is that correct?
That would be absolutely correct.
Are there other words you could say to describe the former environment of the guff before you came forth to create?
Just like this.
Is it a substance, this bliss thing? We've talked about that before. I'm not sure if you said it was a substance. I actually didn't rehear that one the other day. But is it a substance environment?
Everything is a substance environment.
Okay. So
now, wait, hold up. Look at the questions you've asked.
No, I got the next question.
Okay, but I mean, that question was very good.
Okay, but you said everything's environment, so Ion is a substance, and now we have to go at it this way. So this new formula, the ALTSO4 formula, it's a long bunch of letters.
ALTSO4.
Yeah, and Sheila made a painting of it. Is that the new substance of ion after the guff is emptied? Is that a cause?
No, it's the new substance of you. It's the new substance of you. It's what your world is.
Yes.
Right now you are a carbon-based entity. Right now you ask any scientist, not Scientologist, but any scientist, L. Ron Hubbard would be upset, any scientist what you are, and they say, you're sand. You're carbon. You're silica. You are dirt. You are dirt. Man. Dr. Dean says you are dirt minerals. That's what Dr. Dean says. She said you are dirt. She said, don't mind eating dirt. You are dirt. You are.
But that's changing
dirt.
To AL2SO4.
That is exactly correct. That's what you're becoming too.
Is that substance, that environment, that new change, is that caused by you creating?
We don't like where it's going. The answer is yes, but we defer and say, oh, no, we don't create from that level. We don't have to. But then we would say, why don't you say we react? Because that's basically what's happening. We react to your position.
And we are causing the change?
You are. You're driving.
But you're reacting. You're causing the change. You're the obvious catalyst.
Well,
because
we're stirring the pot. You're boiling the oil.
You're stirring the pot, and the oil is the ALT2SO4?
ALT2SO4.
That's the oil.
Well.
Okay. Is it part of the stirring of the pot that you're creating? Doing,
we make it
reactive.
We make it cohesive, yes.
Okay. You just heard something we've been wondering about for a long time. The guff is what it's mutated to.
Yeah.
Clear as mud, Bob.
I found it very interesting what he's saying about the environment being a substance. And you were talking about how we eat the environment. All the input we get is our food to all the bodies. And how you are eating yourself as environment and mutating into this new substance, not based on carbon.
I think it is based on carbon. Hi, isn't that the why the California is burning? Because the changes that the ICEL has brought in requires more carbon?
Well, you do need more carbon, and yes, California is burning.
Are we still going to be an environment based on carbon if everything is mutating?
Yeah, Ian, people say we're moving into silicon, but you said the other day silica is part of carbon or similar or something. Is there a difference between silicon
and
carbon?
There's a difference between silica and silicone, yes.
Oh, I see. You're saying silica and carbon are similar. So are we moving towards silicon, our makeup?
There's a difference between silica and silicone.
Silica is close to carbon, right?
They're in the same world, so yeah.
So, are we moving towards carbon? More carbon?
Yes.
Are you saying that?
Yes.
And the guff emptying furthers that increase of carbon?
It's a process. But you don't, it's not a timeline like we're doing in genealogy.
It's not a timeline, so is there a parallel increase of carbon as the guff empties? Or you wouldn't connect the two? Yes.
Well,
you, on one level, you say everything's connected.
Well, no, hold on. Up until the House of Wessex.
Yeah, you're talking about the lineage of the King James Version theme. You just ran through it, and that is the re-looping of that period. It relates to making a new Bible at this point?
Yes, but we weren't including the rulers of Wales.
Okay, now you are?
We would prefer Scotland. Nobody talks about Donald the First.
Nobody talks about him. That's right.
Yeah. It's the House of Alpin.
Is that got something to do with the Guff emptying today in our re-bobbing of the loop?
858 to 862, it damn sure did, Skippy.
Did you say 858, way back there before the Holy Roman Empire?
Yes, right after Kenneth McAlpin. Yes. House of Albert.
House of Albert, yeah, Albert.
Alpin. Alpin.
Oh, well, what about Alcuin, the first English scholar for the
he couldn't read.
Roman Catholic Church? Alcuin, A-L-C-U-I-N. He was an important teacher. The only input of England into the Catholic Church, it seems. You know,
and don't forget Donald Bain. Donald Bain, which was Donald III in 1094 to 1097.
3 years. An important 3 years there?
Yes, for sure. I see you keep rolling up here. See, from Robert II, then you slide right into Robert III. This is the Stuarts, because when the Stuart takes over, then you go into James, all the James, all the way to the 5th, then down to Mary Queen of Scots, then James the 6th, back to the House of Stuart. Spelled differently.
What world were they communicating from? Were they in this world, or they were not involved with other worlds?
This one, they did. Well, you know that story, Leopold and the whole nine yards. You know that, Bob. Lord Suffering. That's what the whole Plantagenet bullshit was all about with Edward in the first place.
Okay, well, that's
then the Lancasters come in, and you get all the way up to the Tudors and wonder what happened.
Well, the York
now,
didn't make it.
Oliver Cromwell. Well, then you get up to Oliver Cromwell, and you just go into the Common House, so then it's all up and over then. But don't forget now, no one talks about the House of Orange.
Well, we just did. William of 1688 was the House of Orange.
Well, we know that. We know, but nobody else. And then nobody even knows what the House of Hanover is. Victoria came from the House of Hanover, but yet they don't have any details about that.
Do you have something to add to that, Roxy? Or should I bring someone else in?
I found very interesting what he said, that angels want to have tears. Are tears related to living water, or why would they want tears?
They want the salt.
Why do they think they need salt for? What's salt really used
for? You are, it's you. Without salt, you are not.
Does that have to do with the...
Dr. Dean?
With the change of the non-people?
Dr. Dean?
The people who are not...
Requested.
What's the difference between a human, little man, and the people who are not according to salt? What's the... Do they digest it and use it differently?
Dr. Dean?
Okay.
The salt percentage of the human body is?
Well, 0.4% of the body's weight is salt, so 50 kilograms per
week. 0.15%, yes?
0.4%.
0.15%.
You're saying it's 0.15%?
Well, we're asking you.
Well, I'm saying all I'm getting on the Googler is that 0.4% of the body's weight at a concentration equivalent to that of seawater.
So a 70-kilogram human would have 105 grams of each, the element table salt, or 210 grams in terms of whole NaCl.
Yeah, sodium chloride. They're saying 50-kilogram person would have 200 grams of sodium chloride, around 4 teaspoons. That's a lot, actually, because when I did the math on the amount of sugar in, well, I did it in the blood. The amount of sugar in the blood at any one time is about 2 teaspoons. So there's a heck of a lot more salt than there is sugar. That's kind of neat.
What sugar? Which sugar?
Glucose, you know, blood glucose that they measure on blood tests.
Is that the main sugar we have?
Yeah, when you eat carbohydrates, it metabolizes and then turns into glucose, which is what the body uses for food in the cells, in the mitochondria.
And you're saying salt is more than sugar?
Well, according to these rough statistics, let's look up the amount of salt in blood. That may be different. What is the amount?
Oh, okay.
Salt,
so now you're looking at 9.9% by weight. Now, this is where they really start bringing the acidity.
The whole body had 0.4, and if you're saying it's 0.9, then the blood is twice as salty as the body.
Correct, and seawater is still 3.5%.
What's twice as salty, Cal?
The blood, but, you know, this is all kind of speculative. I'd have to look closer.
Based on what?
Well, you know, we might be comparing apples and oranges here.
Well, what you're trying to get to is the change of the acidity of your blood.
According to the new environment, according to the RNA drops, the blood should be becoming more acid, correct?
It does. It is. Whole plasma will leave only mineral salts as a residue.
That means more salt, Carol?
No, you're going
to
have more salt.
Due to the drops.
To change the pH, it's
about
the hydrogen.
Yes, very good, very good, very good, very good.
Well, what are you talking about salt for then? You switch to hydrogen. What's the theme on salt?
No, that's how it applies.
What's how? The hydrogen applies to the salt?
To the pH.
No, the reverse. The salt affects the pH, which has to do with the acidity, which has to do with the blood.
And it has to do with the hydrogen?
pH always has to do with the hydrogen.
Oh, yeah. So this dropping of the RH factor means more salt?
It's going to change the hemoglobin ratio.
Does that involve salt?
The protein molecule in a red blood cell that carries oxygen away from the body's tissue and returns carbon dioxide back to the tissue. It's made of four protein molecules, globulin chains, that are connected together.
Yes, but we're talking about salt. Now, have you jumped ship to another theme? Like, what salt has to do with any of this? That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about the blood.
Well, you were talking about the salt, and you should indicate that you've dropped that, and it has nothing to do with what you're saying now, or it does have something to do with
the HB, it does.
So what's that mean?
It's an iron-containing oxygen transport metal of protein.
So the drops are changing the salt in the body.
Glycated hemoglobin. Glycated hemoglobin.
What's that say to you, Carol, in relation to salt? If we're trying to remain constant here.
I don't think there is a constant, Bob, so don't bother.
Well, why is he talking about salt? That's what we started for.
Well, weren't you playing stuff about salt and the body, salt and the angels and the salt and light and all that?
Yeah, we were talking about salt, and an ion's gone into this.
Mm-hmm.
Why ion? Why are you bringing up non-salt issues?
Somehow pH came up, and I said, well, that's more to do with hydrogen, so that's where it gets off on a different track.
Right.
But this is interesting. I just Googled for negative pH, and years ago when we were starting looking at negative pH, nothing ever came up. But now there's references to negative pH where in the Niger Delta, traumatic pH depressions were recorded in Iron Mountain mining site, California, where pH less than zero and negative pHs were recorded. So there it is. They're finding negative pH.
That's pretty interesting.
It is.
Well, sometimes you have to do that so then you can come back to what we said all along. That's why the HGBA1C would be measured differently.
Yeah, hemoglobin A1C, that's where you measure the, like I was saying, the glycated hemoglobin.
Now we're going to have a non-enzymatic glycation pathway.
Okay.
Okay, now how does that relate to salt? I mean, that's what we're doing.
You're going to have more salt, and salt's going to be your preservative. Salt and brine is fine.
A preservative in our bodies.
It's a preservative, period.
No, you're talking about preserving food or something in our body?
No difference. If we eat your food. Let's eat Bob,
so,
Carolyn. Let's eat Bob. Why not? Let's eat him.
I'm the main eater here. I'm the dark soul.
Well,
I
yeah, Denver, that's why we should. That's why we should eat Bob. Let's eat Bob up.
Okay, so we're saying we're getting more salty. Is that a result of the new environment?
It has to do with the end of the beta chain.
The end of the beta chain.
Yep.
So, beta chain. And let's
shift.
See.
It's a shift base.
You mean shifts or shift?
Shift. S-C-H-I-F-F. Shift.
That's not shift, S-H-I-F-T, count. So what is S-H-I-F-F?
I don't know. It's like a reagent.
And is it capitalized?
Often, yeah.
S-H-I-F-F.
Deoxyfructose. Deoxyfructose.
So when you look at glycation in proteins, glycation means when a protein gets kind of bound up with sugar and it kind of starches it up or paralyzes it. So under glycated hemoglobin in Wiki, we've got glycation of proteins is a frequent occurrence. But in the case of hemoglobin, a non-enzymatic reaction occurs between glucose and the end of the beta chain, which is what Ion just said. This forms a shift base, which is itself converted to 1-deoxyfructose. This rearrangement is an example of a Maddori rearrangement. So what does all this mean? Well, I mean, with our sugar, with our super sugar, we're definitely going to be in on that reaction, right, Ion?
Most certainly.
So when blood sugar levels are high, glucose molecules will attach to the hemoglobin in red blood cells. So does that mean people who are doing RNA drops, their hemoglobin A1C is going to look higher?
No, it'll actually end up at exactly 6.
Well, I mean, 6 is on the high end of normal. Some people might even think it's high, but
okay.
It's going to sit there and be just fine, is what you're saying.
It's going to sit there until the rest of you catch up so you can burn it.
And catching up and converting it, I assume that's going to happen when we get the protein powder, the living water, and the bread of life going.
There's protein powder. Oh, how wonderful!
Oh,
yay.
I thought we were talking amongst ourselves. Okay.
We like cats out of hats. We love it. It's fun. You heard it here first. No, you didn't hear it here first. There you go.
Bob's throwing things at me because I let something out of the bag.
We think it's just wonderful. We think it's wonderful. This is another paid preview of our advertisement program. It's wonderful. You'll like it very well.
You owe me one, Carol.
You owe me 100.
You'll never live this one down. It's a good day.
So what did we learn, Palmer?
Palmer.
Here?
Lots of things. Got me back in the game.
Ta-da! So now what happens is you're now going to bring back a new way to calculate how the body processes sugars normally, and then how the change in the salt level affects the lipids that changes the way the spun out hemoglobin even counts sugar in the level. So that's the way you'll tell how many deciliters are in a blah, 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 what that garbagey gobbledygook dibbity dibbers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, your glib glabber is going to get to feeling way better real soon. And if you don't have your glib glabber removed, it'll do you well.
Ed Long has that under Ina Bob on the website, glib glabber and a bunch of other words, but he has glib glabber there. You got that right. Describing the same. So, Roxy, does this relate to anything you're interested in?
Yes, because the question was to see the difference between little men and the people who are not. And
oh, Bob's got that one in his
totally
box.
Different metabolism.
That phrase, the people are not, will be explained later when we get a chance to play it.
Well, that's
good explanation.
Excellent, because that's excellent. She did it. Now, we didn't do the segue. She did it. Just so everybody knows.
I love you, Ayotte.
We love you.
Don't get all pornography.
Yeah, oof, we just had a little gizgasm.
Yeah, okay, so let's...
It'll be great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good.
We like her portal. It's pretty fun.
Her what? Her portal?
We enjoy her post-coital.
All right, so can you speak SIP out in Australia? Can you speak?
He's saying, can you talk right? Can you talk right?
Lynn, would you like? No.
I'd love to speak. Are you ready for me to speak?
Yes, go ahead, Lynn.
Hey, Ian. I don't know if anyone said this, but hey there. I remember it. Is it JW's birthday today?
Are there birthdays?
I don't think so. But anyway, happy birthday, JW. Hey,
well,
I'm
from a timing line.
What was that?
From a timing line.
Yeah, well,
Right.
North Korea chose to push their time back by 30 minutes, so there is no such thing as time if they can do whatever, and we're all doing whatever, so there you go. I guess that starts August 15th. I thought that was pretty funny. So Thomas Jefferson, Eliza was talking about Thomas Jefferson last week, and I've actually been researching Thomas Jefferson for probably the last year, and when I was Googling, this thing came up with Glenn Beck. It was on a YouTube with this guy named David Barton, and he had written a book about Thomas Jefferson and got it pulled off the shelves. You can no longer sell it for some odd reason. And I was listening to the interview with this David Barton guy with Thomas Jefferson's background, and there was a Bible in the White House. Do you know anything about that, that Jefferson cut? And he showed pictures of it, like cutting sections of the Bible out of the sayings in the Bible out of this Bible. And that was Thomas Jefferson. Is that true?
Yes.
Why did he do that?
Book of Shadows.
What was that about shadows?
Book
That's
of
what
shadows.
We were talking about earlier with Korchik or something, the fifth elm, the ninth gate. You know, half an hour ago, Ian brought up the courtier, some guy, 1666. That's what
We were just ahead. We got a little ahead of them, Bob, but there's no time.
Yeah.
It happens. So now they can giggle that we told about it and prefaced it, laid it all out, and then now here it is, ever how long it was, did you answer the question? Isn't that cool that we did it already? So now we don't have to waste time to do it again because we already did it. And it's in Archibald's archives, so there you go. So you need to set up an Archibald archive set up. We just said that, so now we're echoing. There's an echo. Pickles, is there an echo in here? So then when this kind of comes up again, you put them all of them in Archibald's archives, set them on that side. So people, when they want to know something that they don't know that they didn't do that they wanted to know, they could know that they didn't know it and look at Archibald's archives and find out what it was they didn't know that they were supposed to know that they knew, because then they ask about it because the answer's already there. How cool is that?
Are you saying, Ion, that the Bible in the White House was actually the Book of the Shadows? That's what Jefferson was looking at.
In tetrahedron letters, yes.
So what is this Barton saying about the Bible being in the White House?
Well, it's only a short clip, and he didn't really say much about it. Just said that there's some professor groups that have banned this book because they're supposed to be the experts, and this David Barton is talking about, you know, the truth of what Thomas Jefferson really led.
What did he say about the Bible? There's definitely nothing about what Ion's talking about.
I'm asking. I don't know what he's saying. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Isomerization.
Isomerization, Carol. That's your world. Isomers. Or is that Lynn's muscle world? Is that Lynn's isomerization? Lynn, did you get the hint there? He's addressing you.
Isomerization.
Yeah, isomers. Isn't that what one exercises?
Well,
is that isosceles?
I'm trying to think of a question to ask Ian.
Isometric. Isometric.
Dr. Dean's going to fall over. You better catch her.
Isomerization.
So is there something to do with Thomas Jefferson and isomerization?
Steroid alkaloids.
Alkaloids.
It's like the Hebrewites and the Hebrews. The alkaloids.
Steroid alkaloids. Okay, Lynn, get us relevant to your scene. What do you want to know about yourself?
Nothing. I don't want to know anything about myself. I had a really vivid dream with Trina and myself last Saturday while I was staying out in Glen Eden Beach on the coast of Oregon. And I was actually two houses down from this octagon-shaped house that's actually maybe for sale. And when I ran on the beach next morning, it had this, like, a lot of fog over, but this one octagon house just stood out from the whole coastline there.
Did you hear us talk about Jefferson's octagon house last week?
Yes! Yes,
okay.
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not hear that because I was out there, and when I went to Ion about Blogspot, I saw that Jefferson with the octagon house. It was just like, oh, my gosh. But I had a very vivid dream with Trina. We were laying on the pavement. I mean, it was so vivid. I know we were. In fact, I said this to Trina today. I said, I think we were somewhere together. But it was this huge disc thing hovering over us. And, of course, it looked like some extraterrestrial thing. But it was really bright. It was focusing so much on us. And I grabbed my blanket from the back of the car, and we laid our heads on the pavement so we could look up into this thing, and it had shadow, like black shadows in it. And we were going to take pictures of it from our iPhones, and then all of a sudden it wouldn't let us do that, and then a whole black film or whatever came through with the clouds. Can you tell me a little bit about that, where, if this was somewhere we were at?
Was that me, Ion? Does that relate to me?
It's the evidence. It's the evidence of a biogenesis.
Biogenesis.
A biogenesis.
A biogenesis. B-I-O-J-E-N, G-E-N-E-S-I-S.
A-B-I-O-G-E-N-E-S-I-S.
And that refers to a, like, acultural. It's not biogenesis. It's abiogenesis. It's indifferent to that.
Very good.
So that was in reference to abiogenesis?
Yeah, something not coming from biology.
Well, can it reveal itself to us?
If you know what halogen gas is.
Can you say that again? I didn't understand that.
What halogen gas is.
Yeah, listen to this. Abiogenesis is a natural process of life arising from non-living matter. So you witnessed a non-living matter becoming living. That's what you witnessed in the sky.
And halogens, they're a group on the periodic table of five chemically related elements, fluorine, chlorine, bromine, iodine, and astatine.
You know, it's interesting, too, Ion. I know that reading out, I am going to do a GoPro when I run in the forest. And what was interesting is, I don't know if you know, well, yeah, you do know this, The Willamette Valley, the whole state of Oregon is in a drought. They have not had, they've only had 4 inches of rain.
Burn, baby, burn, yeah. And the Willamette Valley is the wettest place in the managed rainforest on the planet.
And it's burning up, literally.
Yes, you're welcome.
You're welcome means Ion's doing that. You get that?
Yeah, well, but I love the Willamette Valley in the greenery and the rain. But I'm not going in that negative space of thought because I know that there's a reason why it's happening. Of course, you've got the conspiracy theories with the geoengineering, you know, with the spraying of aluminum, barium, and strontium and all these other chemicals in the air. And I've actually
been lying about that.
They sound delicious. Yum, 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 yum. If you just had a little sweet vermouth, a Manhattan duff in soup.
I hear you, but what's interesting is I have a couple big trees. I'm actually sitting outside my door right now. They're almost dying, and these are huge trees. I don't know if you know the trees in Willamette Valley, but they're huge. So I put, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to put a couple RNA drops around the base of it, and I didn't even put them in water. And this was like 3 days ago. You ought to see the difference in them.
We know.
Okay, so I'm running now. I've been running in the forest a lot. But what's interesting, we haven't had any rain here, and I know I'm breathing out all this stuff with the completement formula. Things are looking green in the forest floor and around me. In fact, I just got out with my two Shiba Inu Japanese dogs just now, and it was so surreal around me. It was like almost like this is odd. I mean, we're not getting any rain, and wherever I run on this path, it's like green. And it wasn't instantaneous, but I've noticed it. Do? Is that correct? Am I
saying most certainly. Most certainly.
So why does the Willamette Valley have to experience what they're experiencing right now with lack of moisture?
Putting on the ritz.
Showing off wealth.
Well, is there a body of individuals who have a lot of money, like Donald Trump, that are going to buy it up when people move out of here?
Donald Trump doesn't have a lot of money. He has a lot of debt.
So how come he's running for presidency then?
He's not only running, he's doing very well.
I know it. I was talking to Trina about it. He had me hooting and hollering. I watched the... I didn't watch the debate the night it was on. I watched it on YouTube with my son last night. He's pretty amazing. He's a marvelous, powerful creator, isn't he?
Yes, indeed.
So.
He says the thing. He says the thing that everybody's thinking but is scared to say.
I know it. Trina and I had a great conversation about some of the things he does. It's awesome. He's right on top of it. He puts those reporters back in their place. And his political advisor just stepped down, too. He's probably afraid of his career.
Why did he resign, Ion? Because he's incompetent?
No worries.
But why did he resign? What was his problem with Donald?
He didn't have a problem with Donald.
I was just going to say that. He didn't have
Why did he resign, Ion?
Better weather.
He wants to go to better places? He is doing that. Going to better places.
Huh. It'd be kind of cool to see Donald Trump run the country, huh?
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about the national debt anymore. He'd just file for bankruptcy. Or he would have someone file bankruptcy on his behalf. He wouldn't have to be involved himself personally.
Yeah.
Remember, Lynn, the White House says there's no power... or authority coming out of there. It's not relevant, Ian says. So it would just be entertainment if Donald got to be president.
Kind of like when Ronald Reagan acted in the White House.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I'll go back and listen to the archives. I kept getting cut off with the reception down in the valley there, but I heard a lot, and I'm really grateful, so thanks.
The cherry trees may make it.
May make it in the Willamette Valley?
Yes.
with that statement, is there something majorly happening with the Willamette Valley that won't be so, that it's not so beautiful anymore?
Dry, barren wasteland. Super duper. It's where fashion sits.
Where fashion fits?
Sits.
Fashion sits. Dang. Bob, can you help me with this?
No.
He can. It's in his inbox.
Where fashion sits. Putting on the Ritz. It's a movie sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll play this.
What's next?
Putting on the Ritz.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lynn, for evoking that. You have a statement, a final statement, Lynn?
No, I'm done.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot.